Well, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Nice to see you all here today. Thank you for being here today. Can you believe it, though, the date already? The 26th of January. Oh, my gosh, we're almost at the end of January already. So I got to ask you, how are those New Year's resolutions coming? What, are you sticking with it now? Good, good, good. But are things going the way that you had maybe hoped or planned so far for this year? I know for me, I've fallen down a little bit from my exercise routine, but I think that's probably pretty typical. But if you're like me, though, many times we put these plans together to accomplish a goal or a task, but then once you get started, you find out that nothing actually goes to the plan. Nothing. There's always surprises in trying to accomplish your goals. Ever hear the phrase, "The best laid plans of mice and men often go awry"? Yeah, yeah. So that's pretty typical. My mom used to tell me, "You don't need to make plans. Just live your life." You know. So sometimes we get too organized, too planful, that we don't allow for different challenges to come into our plans. But that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. When things don't sound or go exactly the way that we think that they might should. And that sets the stage, though, for God to intervene in ways that we would never, ever guess. And so the title of this message today is called Extraordinary or Extraordinary Miracles. Extraordinary Miracles. So turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Mark chapter 7, verse 24. Mark chapter 7, verse 24. In the Pew Bibles on page 894 of God's inspired and His infallible and His living Word. I hope you believe that. Let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Father God, we thank You, Lord, for this day. Beautiful day to come together to serve You, each other, and under Your grace and mercy and lordship. Lord, we just praise Your holy name. And we ask that You watch after us now, Lord, as we're going through Your Word. And allow it, Lord, to sink into our character of who we are in You. Lord, we love You. It's in Your precious name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Amen. So, in this regard, Jesus now is in the midst of His ministry. And He's been going about healing many, many people. And He's also teaching thousands of followers. The crowds around Him were somewhat more like groupies than disciples. Not truly disciples, but just people that were excited to see what Jesus was going to do next. I got a picture of the map there. This is all of Israel. And you can see Jerusalem in the bottom part with the star there. In the Sea of Galilee up in the upper center. And then you can see that's where they were. And now they're getting ready to move north. I guess that would be northwest to the city of Tyre. This scene opens up today as Jesus traveling from Gennesaret near the Sea of Galilee to the what is now known to us as the country of Lebanon. Up to this point, Jesus was primarily endeavoring to present Himself to the world as the Savior, Messiah, that the Jews were waiting for. Now He chooses to get away from the crowds around the Sea of Galilee and gives some experiential training, which is about the best type of training, experiential training to His disciples. I had Dante over my house the other day, and we were tearing up the drywall to put in some new recessed light. I was trying to give Dante some experiential training in that regard. And thank you, Dante, for helping out. That's the best kind, hands-on training. And that's what Jesus was trying to do with His disciples. Then starting at verse 24 of Mark, Mark 7, it says, He got up and departed from there to a region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, but He could not escape notice. It's believed that Jesus perhaps desired a time out from the hustle and bustle of the crowds that He was experiencing there at the Sea of Galilee, to rest maybe and recharge and spend some quality time with His disciples now. But somehow the word got out, "Jesus is here!" I'm sure they were shouting, "Jesus is here!" It is amazing how fast the word gets out when you really don't want the word to get out, isn't it? So many times in our lives, you know, something happens and we're like, oh man, I hope no one finds out, and then everybody knows. It's hard to hide from people, especially excited people that are watching you. Verse 25 continues, it says, instead, immediately after hearing about him, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Gentile, a Sepharophian, how you pronounce it, by birth, and she was asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, let the children be fed first, because it isn't right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Whoa, that seems a bit harsh, doesn't it? We don't know much about this lady other than she was a Gentile, it says. She didn't have any credentials, but she approaches Jesus, though, with bold humility. Bold humility. The term used here suggests that she was actually begging, and she keeps on begging Jesus for his attention. Not for herself, though, but for her daughter. She obviously heard all about the miracles that Jesus had performed, so she decided to go against the cultural norms of the day and take a risk to get in front of Jesus for the sake of her daughter. The reply that we're going to see by Jesus here is very direct. And it's not what we normally would think that he would have said. It is kind of harsh, if you will, to read these words because it doesn't fit the narrative that we have in our minds about Jesus' character and his love. But keep in mind, they had just walked 30 miles to this city of Tyre, and they were probably tired and hungry. Jesus was rightfully concerned for his disciples who were with him, understanding also that we are all reading a translation from the original languages. But still, though, Jesus' response seems a little harsh, though, doesn't it? This reminds me of another situation where Jesus performed miracles and of changing the water into wine. His very first miracle, if you recall. Jesus was approached at the wedding feast by his mother, his own mother, Mary. Recall what it says in John 2, that the woman, when the wine ran out, Jesus' mother came up to him and said, they don't have any wine, to which Jesus said, what does that have to do with you and me, woman? What, my hour has not yet come, he said. Again, the purpose here is to convey the truth as it's laid out. I'm not going to sugarcoat what is presented here to fit our idea. Jesus was harsh to some women under certain circumstances. But we have to also keep in mind that this is normal for that arena at that time. I saw the same dynamics myself, though, in Saudi Arabia and Egypt and other countries that I visited, where a man was known largely as the king of the household. It was a really truly a man's world back then and now in these countries. That's just the way it was. That's the cultural norms. But I've also been in some places where the women were in charge. I was talking about the small island I lived in, South Pacific. You know who owned all the land? The women. So we got to try to place ourselves in that circumstance to fully understand what was going on. What was not normal, though, was that the women, though, in that arena could confront a man so boldly in public. And I think that's the key to understand here. She wasn't by herself coming to Jesus. She was amongst other people, and it wasn't the norm that day for a woman to go up to a man in public and address him in such a way. Again, this is God's holy word, and it's important for us to dig deep into it to understand the dynamics and the character of our Jesus. In our text here, I would suggest that the lady knew who she was. She knew her standing and their cultural class system. She didn't argue with Jesus over what and how he had said what he said. However, notice though that she didn't back down either, as what would probably have been expected. She was so driven by even the possibility that Jesus, this great healer that she had heard of, that the people have heard of, and probably that they witnessed even that day before she got up there, that she wanted his help no matter what the circumstance for her daughter. She wanted to save her daughter's life, rid her of this demon that obviously was changing her character and causing her to do things or feel things or experience things that wasn't matter. Nothing else truly mattered to her other than that. She was a hero in my eyes. And that's probably why she's mentioned in such a way in our scripture today. So we can take notice and actually take example of her example as we move forward in faith. At what length would you be willing to go and do for your child's life? What would you be willing to go and do for your child's life? Let us see how her reply in verse 28. It says, "But she replied to him, 'Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs.' And then he told her, 'Because of this reply, you may go. The demon left your daughter.' When she went back to her home, she found her child lying in the bed, and the demon was gone." Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, this lady was very unique. She was humble, but at the same time, very bold and brave. And although Jesus doesn't, in fact, perform, an extraordinary miracle in this regard. He didn't even have to go touch her. He didn't have to go to her town, maybe her house. She did it from afar. "Lady, your child is saved. Your child is healed." I would argue that what is even more extraordinary here is the lady, though, and her actions. Jesus had been healing. We've seen this many places where Jesus healed people, but this lady did something that was totally uncommon. Instead of losing her composure, she responds, though smartly and still in such a humble way. She put it all on the line and appealed to both the intellect and the heart of Christ. When is the last time you had a situation where you felt you needed to humbly appeal to the heart of Christ? I'm talking about getting on your knees, kind of humbly appealing to the heart of Christ. Jesus listens to the appeals of his flocks. Say it with me. Jesus listens to the appeals of his flock. This story reminds me also of another parable about the unrighteous judge that Jesus told in Luke 18. Jesus said, "There was a judge in a certain city who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of the city came to him repeatedly saying, 'Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy.' The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, 'I don't fear God and I don't care about the people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice,' he said, 'because she is wearing me out with her constant requests.' Then Jesus said about that parable, 'Learn a lesson from this unrighteous judge. Even he rendered a decision in the end. So don't you think,'" this is Jesus speaking, "'don't you think God will surely give you justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly.'" So just like the lady, she didn't give up. When she was, probably people were getting ready to pull her out of the room, she didn't give up. When Jesus spoke to her harshly, she didn't give up. Both these ladies here in this parable and in our story today demonstrate that they don't give up when the tough times come. They push through it. What a great example. They had abundant tenacity and they had abundant faith, I will argue. We should endeavor to be more like these ladies, I would argue. This mother in our story today left for home now then, believing that her daughter was saved, just like Jesus had suggested. And as we see here, she was right to presume that her daughter was, in fact, freed from the demon by Jesus at that moment. We should all have such faith in Jesus. Amen? Verse 31 says, again, leaving the region of Tyre, he went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, through the region of the Decapolis. So now we're going to see a different example of an extraordinary miracle. So pay attention. Verse 32 says, they brought to him a deaf man who had difficulty now speaking and begging Jesus to lay his hands on him. So he took him away from the crowd in a private setting. And after he puts his fingers in the man's ear and spitting, this is Jesus, he touched his tongue. Looking up to heaven, he sighed deeply and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak clearly. He ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more they proclaimed it. They were extremely astonished and said, he has done everything well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. So again, this is just like the first extraordinary miracle. We see here some very strange happenings, things we wouldn't expect. Extraordinary. How would you like to witness that miracle that day? I'm sure the disciples were like, what in the world is he doing? What bizarre things he did here to heal somebody. I wonder if Jesus did it as a way for to demonstrate the method, or if it was more about just blowing the disciples' minds that day. Because Jesus could have done anything. He could have just said, snapped his fingers, and it would have been done. He could have done anything. He chose to do it this way. And I think it's pretty cool. Wyatt, come up here real quick. Come here, Wyatt. I'm going to show you. Let's do this. We're going to reenact this situation here real quick. Because this is very unique. Come on up here. So Wyatt, you're a deaf mute. You're a deaf mute. That means you can't hear and you can't speak. Because a lot of people, when they can't hear, they speak different. They speak strangely. And so he couldn't hear and he couldn't speak. And Jesus comes up to him and he puts his fingers in his ear. Like this. And then he puts his finger, I'm sorry, and then he puts his finger in his mouth. And then he looks up to heaven and he says this very strange word. And the man was healed. Isn't that awesome?
Yep.
Give Wyatt a round of applause. So I'm not suggesting that this is a common practice that we should start doing, putting our fingers in the ears. When I was a kid, we used to do something called the wet willy. You know? Don't be going around giving people wet willies in that respect. But why did Jesus do this? This is very interesting. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. But about this miracle, because this one here, Jesus healed someone who couldn't hear and he couldn't speak. And then previously, the lady had a demon. And Isaiah 35 talks about these kinds of healings that the Messiah would be about doing. Isaiah 35 says, then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. And that is exactly now what we see happening with Jesus over and over again. In Matthew's version of this same event, it says, great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And they laid him at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. People were amazed when they saw the mute man now speaking and hearing, the crippled made well, and the lame walking, and the blind now seeing. And they praised the God of Israel, our verses say here. Again, these were not Jewish people. They were Gentile pagans. And they were people of the Decapolis, which means 10 regions that were under the influence and control of Rome about the area of the Sea of Galilee. They were so amazed at what Jesus was doing now that they were now praising the God of Israel. Even though they were Gentiles, they were praising now the God of Israel as a result. The disciples probably watching all this were aghast. Because they watched Jesus touch all these dirty Gentiles. That's not something that was forbidden for Jewish people to do. He put his finger in their ears. I believe Jesus healed the man by touching him in such a strange way to overemphasize that the Gentiles were also part of his ministry too. He's trying to tell the disciples, don't be afraid to lay your hands on the Gentiles too. The people who are not Jewish. That is his mission too, and their mission too. And he has also given the disciples an example for their ministry now going forward. Again, let us look at what really transpired here. The man was deaf. He couldn't hear. Jesus put his fingers in his ears to let him know that this was going to be a miracle that would restore his hearing. He couldn't hear what happened before that. Jesus did this as a way to show him, I'm going to do something here. Then Jesus touched his tongue, I believe, to give the deaf man a gesture that he was going to give him the power to speak again. But then Jesus looked up to heaven to indicate to the deaf man that the power wasn't coming from a demon or a magic trick. This miracle was coming from God. When you first read these texts, you don't get that from reading it. You think, why did he stick his fingers in his ears? But when you pull it apart, it makes sense. But then lastly, Jesus sighed, according to our scripture verses here, showing the deaf man that Jesus cared and he felt his compassion and physical, he felt his physical challenges. Jesus clearly demonstrated to the deaf man his compassion, and immediately the man was healed. He didn't have to go to a speech pathologist or an audiologist for therapy. He was immediately and completely healed. And I would bet that the very first verse he heard was Jesus saying that word, Jesus' voice, what a blessing. Praise the Lord. Funny thing, verse 36 says, he ordered them to tell nobody. But the more that he ordered him, the more they proclaimed him. It's funny to me, though, because the man now could hear and he could now speak, and Jesus asked him not to tell nobody? I can hardly blame the man for not shouting off at the rooftops on top of the mountains. I can hear. I can speak. I am healed. What would it do to you if you had such a miracle happen to you? Wouldn't you be excited to tell other people? This man and the others there were completely amazed, and they couldn't even contain themselves as Jesus had ordered. They instead proclaimed that Jesus had done everything well. And he continued, they said, Jesus continued to do all things well for the rest of his life until they put him up on the cross to die for our sins. So what are the takeaways from this message here today? I will suggest that we can have confidence that God can do whatever he wants in a way, whatever way he wants to do it. He doesn't have to fit our narrative of how we think things should go or how things should be resolved. He is God. He is the creator. He is the physician. He is the great healer. And he is our Savior and our Lord. Praise his holy name. The second takeaway for today is that Jesus loved on all people. Jesus loved on these Gentiles, these pagan Gentiles, by the sea there. He didn't care what their background was. He didn't care where they came from was. Jesus loved them all, and Jesus loves us too. There's no situation so dire where he cannot show his amazing love and his amazing grace and his amazing mercy. He is God in the flesh and who does extraordinary miracles. Not necessarily the way that we think it ought to go, but it's extraordinary in many circumstances indeed. We've seen it. We've seen it. Open your eyes to the miracles that are out about you. You have seen your brothers and sisters, your grandmas, your grandpas, your fathers, your mothers. Somehow they pull out of circumstances when you think it's done. You think they're going to die. They think that they're not going to be able to live a good life. And then something happens that through prayer, I would argue that their whole life is turned around and they are healed miraculously. Jesus can do anything. Put your trust in Jesus. And someone asks you to pray for them. Pray for them, because prayer is the key to many, many miracles. Don't hold back, brothers and sisters. And engage your church family in the process. But the biggest miracle of all, though, that through all this that we've read here and everything that we know of Jesus, the biggest miracle of all is that he saved me. Jesus saved me. I was going on a path that was dark and dreary, and Jesus pulled me out of that and not only allowed me to be one of his followers, but to be a leader in his mission here at Orion. If Jesus can do that, let me tell you something, there's hope for you. God loves you, brothers and sisters. He loves you. These are some extraordinary miracles. God doesn't have to work in the ways that you expect. Allow him to do what he does so very well. Would you please rise? I was going through these verses and I was trying to come up with the right title. You don't know this, but I spend about half an hour on a title sometimes. Just the title. Because I want to get something that brings it all together. And these were some very strange readings for me, and I'm sure for you too, if this is the first time you heard it. But what a blessing it is to have a Bible that puts it out like it is. If this was fake, if this was made up, they wouldn't have said this. Remember, they're trying, with this holy word, they're trying to convince people that Jesus is Lord. And the last thing they would have done is said, he put his fingers in the Gentiles' ears and touched his tongue. The last thing he would have said was that Jesus told this woman that you're like a dog or a puppy compared to these disciples at the table. The last thing he would have done. But that tells me that this word is true. This is God's word. And we can take it to the bank. Let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for these extraordinary miracles. We thank you, Lord, for your precious word. We thank you, Lord, for the Mark who wrote them down. We thank you, Lord, for this church family and this church where we get to dig a little deeper, put aside the cares of the world, dig a little deeper in your word and how it applies to us on a daily basis. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for these wonderful gifts. Father God, I ask that you watch after us here today. And Lord, if there's anybody here who would like to join the church, I pray that they come forward at this next song. Lord, we are a family of believers, your family. And Lord, we are so blessed to have that understanding. Lord, it's in your precious name we pray. Everybody says, amen. Please sing with me now.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you all for being here today. God bless you. We'll see you at 4 o'clock and hope you have a wonderful week ahead. God bless you all.